You're listening to Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, where we talk about what it means to be en route with Jesus in our day-to-day life. Navigating life and faith in our complex and changing society is hard. Our goal is to keep you unterwegs with Jesus, moving forward as you follow God's calling on your life. Welcome to episode 37. I am your host, Mike Picanato, and I will be joined again today by my guest, Ira Kapitonova. We're returning to an interview with Ira that we started last week in episode 36 that was recorded on Friday, April 1st. And Ira is talking about the situation in Ukraine. She's from Kyiv and is now living about 150 kilometers or 100 miles away from Kyiv with her family. The episode that you're hearing today is from before the massacre in Bucha, before some of the other discoveries that are taking place now in Ukraine as the Russian troops are pulling away from around Kyiv and are moving east. And the issues that we're talking about in the episode today, I know are issues that Ira continues to wrestle with, perhaps even with more intensity than she did in this interview with me. Please remember that this interview was done online, and so there are a few times where the audio is a little bit buggy when the internet connection wasn't as strong as we wanted it to be. But for the most part, it's really understandable, and I do think you're going to appreciate hearing Ira's perspective. We're jumping right into the interview from last week, so the question has some context from last week's episode, and if you feel like that's missing, be sure to listen to last week's first. Here's that interview with Ira. Ira, it was 2014 when Russia first invaded. How do you protect your heart from hate?
Oh, it's hard. And it's getting harder with every day. But on one hand, I mean, one of the things that helped me is that I remember stories of my great-grandmother. She lived through World War II, and she was taken as a forced labor worker to Germany. And she worked there in a plant somewhere in the Alps. Sometimes she would share stories from those days. I remember that she would tell stories about German people who were nice to her, who would leave them food in a trash can so that they could find food there, or who would not tell on them for being in the wrong place and at the wrong time. And so even since then, it was important for me to know that, you know, there are different kinds of people, no matter whether you call this nation an enemy or not. I also have some close friends from Russia who actively support us today, and they do it at the risk of their own lives sometimes, at the risk of their own comfort, at the risk of ruining relationship with their family. Knowing this is a huge encouragement and a huge comfort for me. But I also know that there are many people who support what's going on, what Russia is doing at the moment. And I don't understand it, especially when we have sometimes our journalists, they would publish conversations between those who were taken captive, their conversations with their mothers and wives. And, you know, when a mom tells her son, you shouldn't call me anymore because you were taken captive, and it means that you cannot be trusted anymore. I can't imagine a mom saying something like that to her child. But I understand that there are things that are really wrong, really deep in the hearts of people in Russia. So every day we have our prayer meetings for our church twice a day. And part of our prayer is praying for Russian people, praying for them to see the truth, praying for them to see the light, praying for them to have their hearts not hardened. And I think praying for them is something that helps me not to hate them. Mm-hmm. And I shared it on Facebook the other day when we were studying the book of Jonah in the School of Biblical Studies where I translate in the Youth with a Mission. When we were studying the book of Jonah, and the speaker said, if that Jonah, he was sent to prophesy to Nineveh, to the enemy nation of Israel, and he refused to go there because he said, it's better for me to die than to see them repent. The speaker said, what would you do if you got the same task? How would you feel if one day in heaven you see your greatest enemy sitting next to you? And I knew that it's a hard question, and I knew that I'm not sure how I would respond. And this question kept bothering me for a while until I came to study the book of Zephaniah, the prophet. And I was just amazed at God's character, because in the book of Zephaniah, you see scenes of complete destruction and just the apocalypse. But at the same time, there is this really beautiful passage when God says, I will get rid of your enemies. I will heal you. I will rejoice over you with gladness. I will sing over you. And I will bring all of those who are scattered all over the world, I will bring them home. As I was reading those words, I just felt overwhelmed with the love that God showed. Because imagining, you know, when God says, I will sing over you, I will rejoice over you with gladness, who am I that God would say such words to me? But I realized that God's mercy and God's love, they are so much greater than I can even imagine them. But he is also a just God, and he will not, he will go unpunished. That's why every day we pray for Russian soldiers to repent. We pray for them to surrender, to run away, because it's not just about, you know, killing the enemy. It's about making the enemy leave. And if they leave, we'll be so happy. And so, you know, I know that if God finds a way to just get rid of enemies in our land in the way that he sees fit, that's all we need, because that would be him doing his justice. You know, and then also, you know, when things get really bad, another thing that I find encouraging is last two chapters of Revelation, when God promises that one day he will be with his people and there will be no more fear, no more death, no more suffering. That's something that gives me hope.
And this beautiful picture of people from every tribe and nation worshiping from early in the book of Revelation, but that helps me when I'm upset at people as well, to realize that I am undeserving of God's mercy, and I'll still be standing before that throne. And if God is gracious and people's hearts are soft, as hard as it might be to see them there, how great would it be to see them there?
Yeah, I know that. It was also from the time when I was translating for the School of Biblical Studies, but another speaker told us, she gave a description of some terrible things that were reported on the news. And then she said, do you understand that even though these people did horrible things, but you are as big of a sinner as them when you don't have the forgiveness of Christ? And it was a challenging statement. But it's also so true, because we do not deserve any of God's mercies. We do not deserve any of his goodness. But by his grace, he gave us his son. And that's the only thing we can boast in.
One of the things that the world has been shocked by is the bravery of the Ukrainian soldiers and the apparent ineptitude of the Russian army. And without wanting to sound overly religious, and I know you posted about this yesterday as well, sometimes you have to step back and say, there is no level of bravery or level of ineptitude alone that can explain what is happening. That there are times where you have to say, this could only be from God. What are some of the things that you are hearing from people as you are praying, as you're in contact with other believers around the country, where people are saying, oh my goodness, this could only be from God?
you know, we actually have many stories like that. And sometimes I even, you know, I read something on the news and then I say it's not true, it's not possible. It's probably, you know, one of the false news that they give just to boost the spirit of people. But then I check the other reports, I check other sources, and I see that it's true. And also hearing from people who experienced it firsthand. My friend's brother, he's in the army now, fighting at the front lines, and he was talking to her and he told her, we see so many cases when God is just shielding us, because he said it is as if bullets just fly around us, you know, they just change their direction. He says, like, there are times when they would be stationed somewhere and then all of a sudden they decide to move. And some people, they would be even arguing, why change our position? It's fine here, it's safe, it's comfortable. But then they change their position, and minutes after that, the bomb lands on their previous place where they were stationed. There were situations when Russian soldiers, they would just get lost, and they would be coming on tanks, then they take a wrong turn, and they end up on our positions, and they're just taken captive there. And then you start wondering, how can you take a wrong turn? You know, it seems too easy. We pray every time. We pray for God to give strong spirit to our people, to our soldiers, and to crush the spirit of our enemies. And we see them, we see that happening, because our people, they would just come into the streets unarmed, and they would, in many villages, they would just come into the streets and they would just block the road, standing with their arms in the air, saying, we are not armed, just leave, this is our land, you have no business here. And those tanks, they would just turn around and leave, and without doing anything. And we just hope that, you know, they understand that if they're not welcome here, then there's no success. But also there are stories when, you know, when God would use nature, and for days during the first week, our southern cities by the Black Sea, they were under serious threat. But there was a strong wind and storm there, and so they could not launch an attack from the sea. And even the few ships that tried to come to the shore, they were tossed in the sea and they never reached the shore. Another time they tried to send them from the air, but the wind was so strong that it just blew them away from just across the border. God would send snow in cities where usually they don't get much snow, especially in March. But God sent lots of snow in Mariupol, in Sumy, in the cities that were under siege, and they didn't have any water supply. So people, they would melt snow and use it as water. You know, there was, we had wild geese that took down an airplane, Russian plane, because the geese just got stuck in the engine of the plane. And recently there was a story about bees. They woke up from hibernation, and usually farmers, they would leave some honey or some sugar water for the bees to feed on until there are flowers. But the farmers had to flee, so bees were really hungry and really angry, and somehow they ended up coming to the place where Russian soldiers were stationed, and they attacked them, and many Russian soldiers ended up in the hospital. And those are just supernatural things that I don't know if there's any other way to explain them other than God doing what he can to help us. That encourages us a lot.
What can people do if they want to help?
It depends on how much people are willing to do. We are really grateful for all the help we already have, for all the support we have. We are grateful for people who open their homes to refugees. We are grateful for those who send humanitarian aid. On the practical side, there is people can always support Ukraine actively in addressing their local government and asking them to stop any sort of trade with Russia, because any economic transaction with Russia would help them use money for this war. Also, there is always the great need for humanitarian aid in Ukraine and for the refugees, and I know that a lot is already being done. But I think one of the most important things is praying for Ukraine, because we see the power in prayer. And we had some friends who would say, oh, I wish I could help in any way, but I'm so far away or there is nothing I can do. But we also say, you can pray, because God works in miraculous ways. And you know, every time we see things that are not likely to happen, that they actually happen, we know it was the hand of God. You know, praying for deliverance of Ukrainian people, praying for repentance of people, not only in Russia, but also in other nations. It's important. And just praying for this evil to stop. And, you know, it's so important also to, even though the war is not over yet, but it's so important to also pray for healing, because there are so many people who go through horrible, horrible things. They will need a lot of healing. And then also we as a nation would need to make many decisions after the war. It's so important to pray for those decisions to be wise and timely and not caused by bitterness or hatred. I think that's one of the things that is that already seems so challenging to me. And it seems to me that making, you know, wise decisions after the war could be even harder than winning the war. So, yeah, praying for that is also important.
You've shared some ways that you guys have been praying in your prayers, and I think that'll be helpful for people to hear how you're praying. It's hard to know how to pray in a situation like this. I find myself praying that God fills the hearts of the Russian soldiers with compassion for the people of Ukraine. And if their hearts are too hard to feel compassion, that he fills them with fear. And again, as you were saying, either way, that they leave, that they just leave, that they return back home. And I find myself also often praying that new leadership would rise up in Russia that would lead to lasting change. What are some other ways people can practically pray?
Yeah, pray for our army, and not just the army, but there are so many other people, like the territorial, the local defense forces, and police, and firefighters, and rescue teams, those who risk their lives every day. Pray for their protection. Pray for them to be strong in the spirit. Pray for the hearts of our soldiers at the front line not to be filled with hatred and bitterness, but be filled with love for their people, because I can't imagine how hard it is for them, especially for those whose families are in immediate danger. Also praying for all people in the cities that are under direct attack, and those, the larger cities are Chernihiv, Kharkiv, Izum, Mariupol. And there are so many other small cities and villages whose names we don't even know, but they are under attack every day. Our friends, they had their family members flee from Mariupol after spending 21 days in a bomb shelter without electricity or running water. Just them, they were staying in a church basement, and the church was hit twice, but they survived. And they were able to get out of the city. It's a miracle of God. And so we pray for many more miracles like this. We pray for people who stay in these cities to be safe, and for them to see that God is taking care of them, and for them to be able to testify about God's goodness and greatness. Also, we pray for many volunteers who help people, like my friends from Youth with a Mission, in Kyiv. They have guys who go in cars and try to get people out of danger locations. They bring people to safety. They deliver food boxes and provide any sort of help they can. But what's also more important is that they bring hope. People, they pray with them, they encourage them, and, you know, just for our people, even to see someone who comes to you with a smile and, you know, who is full of life, not full of fear, mm-hmm. is already a big thing, especially when they learn that many of those volunteers from YWAM, they're not Ukrainian. They are those who chose to stay in Ukraine, or even specifically came to Ukraine after the war started because they felt that where God is calling them to be. We also pray for all the kids affected by the war on all the different levels. We pray for their hearts not to be hardened, but for their hearts to find peace in God. We pray for doctors who have to perform surgeries in bomb shelters. We know doctors who are on the phone with their patients 24/7. Because they can't get to their locations, but they are providing in any way they can. We pray for people who are not able to leave Kyiv or other places because of their health situation. We know people with serious forms of cancer or with some disabilities. It's impossible for them to travel far away. So we pray for their protection and just for God's hand to be over them. We pray for people who do not have access to medicine and medical help, for God to heal them and sustain them until they can get this help. We pray for orphans and other vulnerable groups who are not taken care of. If there are elderly homes, there are orphanages, there are special centers for kids with disabilities that are just at God's mercy now and at the mercy of volunteers who come and help them. We also pray for people who had to flee war in 2014. They were internally displaced within Ukraine. Many of them started new life in Kyiv and other locations. They got houses or apartments. They had jobs. And now all of that they had to leave behind and flee again, and it's really hard for them. There are just so many needs that it's hard to name them all. But you know, it's so important to pray for the hearts of our people, for our people to turn to God, because you know, some trust in chariots, some trust, but we trust in God, and this seems to be the case for us because we know that no one expected our army to be this resilient. We know that our trust is in God, and He is the one who can bring change. I remember I met a few people who, Christian missionaries, who were sharing gospel before the collapse of Soviet Union, before the fall of the Berlin Wall. And one man, he said, I remember that I was meeting with people and I was just sharing with them encouragement from God. And then he said, at some point, I realized that I'm telling them about the great things that will happen and the great time that will come and the time when we will be free and we will be. And so, you know, he goes on and on. And then he says, and then I realized that I probably said too much and probably secret police will be seeking me after this, you know, trying to get explanation from me. But he said, I was so filled with hope and I was so filled with faith that God can do it and He will do it, even though it didn't look hopeful at the time. But the big changes came just in a matter of a couple of years. And stories like that, they encourage me as well, even it seems hopeless now, even though we don't know what will happen and how it will happen, but we know that God can do anything.
Here, if people had finances and they wanted to support work going on there, I know our denomination is helping with refugees in Poland through Kama Services. You had mentioned Youth with a Mission in Kyiv. Is there a way people can financially support them?
Yes. on the YYMP website, there is a way to donate. And I would encourage donating to people or organizations that you know personally, mm-hmm. because unfortunately we learn about big funds that probably misuse money that was sent to help Ukraine. But there are organizations, the organization where I used to work a while ago, it was Ukrainian Education Center, and they started a charity fund that's based in the US, but they're sending money to people in Ukraine, and they report on what they're doing. Their website, webpage now is uecandme.org.
You send me mm-hmm. that website, and I'll make sure that it's shared in the show notes so people can find it.
Sure.
I've taken over an hour of your time already. Thank you so much. We wrote to you and said you are always welcome at our home, and you are always welcome in our home. If anything happens and you need a place, our prayer is that that's not necessary.
Thank you.
And that we can come visit you sometime.
Yes, that's the dream that I have. There are so many people who message us, and so many people whom we haven't ever met, but they are becoming our friends now. And it's my big dream to invite all of our friends to our Ukraine that is peaceful, that is filled with flowers and beauty, and when there is no threat, and we can just praise God together. Thank you so much for all the prayers and for all the encouragement, and thank you for taking time to make this recording, because I'm just honored and I'm just humbled by how many people open their hearts and are ready to share our story.
In the show notes to today's episode, you will find the links that Ira was talking about, places that you can go and donate resources if you are looking for ways that you can financially contribute to helping people that are impacted by the war on Ukraine. In the show notes, you will also find an email address for us as well, podcast@envisionberlin.com. Please feel free to email us with any questions or comments that you have. There's also a link to our Discord server. You can click on that, join the server, and join the conversation with us. As things begin to ramp up at Envision Berlin and we welcome teams and interns, we're going to be moving the release of our podcast to an every other week instead of a once a week release schedule. So it will be a couple of weeks before you hear from us again. Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, is a production of Envision Berlin e.V. and is produced, recorded, and edited at Sprig, Envision Berlin's creative space. Podcast music is by Mike Picanato.